I'm going to get us started. I'm going to be teaching a series called Waiting, Dating, and Mating. And look at the crowd, because everybody wants to know what this is about. Yeah, yeah. When you talk about something like this, you're going to want to know what it is. And I just want to say off the bat that I don't have all wisdom on this. I don't have all wisdom on anything, to be honest with you. I'm always amazed that you get anything from anything I teach. But my hope is that whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're old or young, that the principles that I'm about to teach will be a blessing to you. At some point, in some point of the message, there'll be something. I believe the principles of Scripture apply across race, across age, across generations. They apply and across situations. You believe that? And what I want to talk about today is something a little bit unique. I want to talk about the master skill that you will need in your walk with Christ, which is learning to wait and learning to wait well. Because your life will be, what your walk with Christ will be many times, where you're waiting with an empty seat. And I have these two seats here as an example that I want to kind of refer to through this series, or through this message primarily, about two seats. And I'm going to put them in front of me so that you can see them. But oftentimes, when God gives us a promise or a desire within ourselves, whether it's marriage, whether it's something else, a job, a career, a dream, something else, God will give us a desire and a dream. And he'll set us there, and it'll be often like this, that we will feel like we're incomplete until we have that thing. Does it make sense? What I've learned, though, is that we have to learn to guard the seat. Save the seat. Save the seat. You ever gone to a conference or maybe to a movie theater or to some athletic game, and you get there a little early and you put some stuff on the seats and then you go get a drink, and actually you stay and your group goes to get the drink and then someone else comes along and wants to take the seat, and what do you say? Oh, I'm sorry, the seat is saved. The seat is taken. It's taken. Somebody's already got a name for that. And what I want to say is that I'm going to speak to singles in the context of being single, but I'm going to speak to everyone that there are things in your life that God wants to give you. Say give. He wants to give you. And here's the problem. We often want, because we feel like we have an empty spot in our life, we often want to fill that with some inferior thing. Does it make sense? That empty spot in our life wants to be filled, but you have to save the seat. And so here's the crux of what I want to say. The kingdom of God is upside down and inside out. The Bible says, if you want to be great, be least. If you want to have, give, right? One of the things that we learn, if you want to be full, you have to learn to be empty. You have to learn to walk empty for a season, so that God can fill that spot. And God in his grace and in his mercy gives us things in his timing, not in ours. That's not fun, is it? And so the temptation is that when we're single, to think that somehow we're incomplete. But you know what God's will is? God's will is to make you wait until you're complete. C.S. Lewis said this, that great marriages are made of great people. What does that mean? That if you want a great marriage, the only thing you can do is work on you. And when we're waiting for God to fulfill an unfulfilled promise in us, what he's doing is he's shaping us to prepare us for who he has prepared for us. God wants to give you your mate. God gave me Kimberly. He gave me, and what a blessing I got, you know? I always tell people, if you don't think God can make you an overachiever, just look at my wife. So let's pull out our notes here, and I want to use several passages. First of all, this first passage is just a promise from Proverbs. We'll pull that up. Proverbs chapter 19, 14. It says, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. What I want to point out in this is that God wants to give you your mate. And what we often do is we go outside of God's will, God's way, and his timing to get what God wants to give us. Are you falling? Are you awake this morning? We go outside of his timing, his will, and his way to get what God wants to give. But here's the problem with this. When you go out of God's will to get something, you got to stay out of his will to keep it. When you go outside of God's timing, you See, this is the thing. It comes with grief, but God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. And let's just be honest. Let's all be honest here. How many marriages do you look at and say, "Woo, that's a blessed marriage"? I'm not saying in here. All your marriages are awesome. I just know that. I'm saying in life. And you know, my wife and I have a great marriage. We have an awesome marriage, and I mean that, but we have hard times. We have a great marriage, but what I'm simply saying is that marriage is hard. And why it's important to understand that you can't go into marriage being incomplete. You need to go into marriage being complete and whole. Because you're not, listen, if you think some person or some situation is going to complete you, you're bringing dysfunction into that relationship. So you have to allow God to change you. So here's the other passage I want to use. And before we read this, this passage is in the Message. I want to read it from the NIV because this passage actually God used when I was single. And I want to say this, that when I was single was probably one of the harder seasons of my life. Being single is not easy. It's not. Those of you who have been single or those of you who are single, I just want you to know you're fighting a good fight. It is hard. And I was, you know, it was probably one of the harder seasons of my life. I used to have Christian friends that said, "You think you're called to singleness?" I said, No. Like, who wants to be called to be single? I'm burning, baby. I need a wife. Right? I'm not called to be single, but I will say this, there are seasons where you are called to be single. And for that season, it was a gift to be single. And this passage looks kind of strange at first, but I want to use this as the diving board to jump into our topic. It's from Lamentations of all places, and verse 25 through 29. It says, "Let the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly." Let me say that again. It is good to wait. It is good to wait. Say it with me. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Listen to that verse again. It is good for a young man to bear the yoke while he's young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust, for there yet may be hope. Let me read it in the Message, and this is just from verse 27. It's a good thing when you're young to stick it out through the hard times. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, don't ask questions, wait for hope. What is God saying? It's good when you're young to learn to wait. It is good at that time in that season of your life to learn a principle that not everything's going to be instantaneous. That most things that God does in our life is he's gonna put them into the future. He's gonna put them in our heart, put a desire in our heart. We're gonna feel empty. But God says, "I want you to learn to save the seat. The seat is taken by me until I bring the one." And you have to learn to wait. This principle goes so much further than just marriage. It goes, you have to learn to wait for God to work things out sometimes. Hello? How many besides me often want to get our grubby hands on situations? We want to work it out. But I've learned that because I had to wait as a single, I've learned that you just step back and put it in God's hands, and when it's time, it'll work itself out. Paul said this. He says, "I don't worry what anybody thinks of me. I don't care about men's judgment." He says, "My conscience is clear." But he says, even that doesn't make me right. He says, "Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. He'll bring judgment." In other words, there's a timing for when things work out. And sometimes we get ahead of God because we want to get our grubby hands on it. God's not working. We're like Saul, who was given an instruction to annihilate that whole city. But he didn't do it. He left some cattle and some goats live. And then he was supposed to wait for Samuel to come. But Samuel didn't come like he thought he was supposed to come. And so he did what the prophet was supposed to do. And when Samuel confronted him, he said, "You didn't come at the appointed time." In other words, I had a different time frame than what you had in mind. But God always has a different time frame than what we have in mind. Because we want it now. We want it yesterday. Am I alone? I'm simply saying this. It's good to learn to wait on God and to hope on God. That word wait means to trust. It means to hope in God. When I was a single man, and I was waiting for my wife, I tell you what, it was hard. It was hard to be alone. It was hard to feel alone, to feel like there was something inside of me. I had friends that were, you know, doing the party scene, and it looked fun. But, you know, I think even back then there was a sense of calling on my life that I knew I couldn't just do what I wanted to do. I had to wait on God. I had to trust God. You know what? I didn't really date a lot. Well, and I don't know why, you know, I wouldn't say that all of those reasons why I didn't date were holy. Some of it might have been just because I was too scared and chicken to ask a girl out. I don't know. But truthfully, below all of that, I told Kimberly I actually allowed myself to stay awkward at times. I didn't want to learn to play the game. And you know why I didn't want to learn to play the game? Because I knew destruction was in for that. And the other reason is because I know myself. I know myself. I knew what I could handle, what I could not handle. And so I didn't date a lot. We're going to be talking to the youth. We might share some of our story, but I didn't date a lot. I did have quite a relationship with the Lord during that time. But one of the things that I did during that time was I learned to get before God and tell him my problems. And I had a little journal, and I had a book that I used. I have a confession to make. I like old things. I like old writers. I like people that have, their life has been proven. Does it make sense? I'm not a big guy in trends. If those of you who've walked with God long enough, you've seen the trends come and go in church. I'm not a trend guy. I want to know truth. I want to find the principles that have worked for generations and follow along behind them. And so one of these things that God used was a book called Streams in the Desert. Has anybody ever heard of Streams in the Desert? It's a devotional. It's one of my favorite. I can still read and feed from that. And this passage shaped my life. It's from a guy named George Matheson. George Matheson was a blind man in the 1800s, and he had a walk with God, and he learned how to walk empty. And you're going to hear this. I want to read this poem to you, because when I read it, I wept, because it was so much where I was in my life. This devotion started out with Galatians 5:5. It says, "For we through the Spirit of faith, the Spirit by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness." And then he goes on, he says, "There are times when things look very dark to me. So dark that I have to wait even for hope. It is bad enough to wait in hope. A long deferred fulfillment carries its own pain. But to wait for hope, to see no glimmer of a prospect and yet refuse to despair, to have nothing but night before the window and yet to keep the window open for possible stars." I love this part. "To have a vacant place in my heart and yet to allow that place to be filled by no inferior presence. That's the grandest patience in the universe. It is Job in the tempest. It is Abraham on the road of Moriah. It is Moses in the desert of Midian. It's the Son of Man in the Garden of Gethsemane. There is no patience so hard as that which endures as seeing him who is invisible." Let me say that again. "There's no patience so hard as that which endures as seeing him who is invisible." It is the waiting for hope. I changed these words a little bit in here to make it modern, but I'm going to read it from how he wrote it in the 1800s. I just like the way the old people write it. He said, "Thou hast made waiting beautiful. Thou hast made patience divine. Thou hast taught us that the Father's will may be received just because it's his will." Whew, it's powerful to me. "Thou hast revealed to us that a soul may see nothing but sorrow in the cup and yet may refuse to let it go, convinced that the eye of the Father sees further than its own. Give me this divine power of thine, the power of Gethsemane. Give me the power to wait for hope itself, to look out from the window where there are no stars. Give me the power, when the very joy that was set before me is gone, to stand unconquered amid the night and say, 'To the eye of the Father is perhaps shining still. I shall reach the climax of strength when I have learned to wait for hope.'" Wow. I'm telling you, that wasn't a poem. That came from someone's life, learning how to live empty, learning how to have a spot that was empty in his heart, that was wanting to be filled but not allowing it to be filled by anything than Jesus. See, the truth is, if you wait for God for your mate, when they come, he'll come too. When God gives you the right one, you won't, it won't distract from God. It will actually impact more of your influence with God. When it's out of God's will and God's timing, this thing that is good, that God wants to have you, will actually distract you from your calling of God. God wants to be the center of our life. What we're talking about truly is this: learning to let God be the Lord of your life. He wants to be the Lord of all, not some. He doesn't want to be Lord of just this portion. And I've learned, I've watched this happen again and again. Those who are learning how to trust in God when they are empty. You can't skip this lesson. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to learn to wait on God. You're going to have to learn to walk lonely. Say lonely. Some people can never be alone. They can never be alone. Listen, if you can't live alone, you'll never live married. And I know this sounds cliche and funny, but marriage truly is this. Some people want in, some people want out. And if you're keeping notes, this is a powerful statement, what I'm about to say. It's better to want what you don't have than have what you don't want. It's better to want what you don't have than have what you don't want. Because if you think you're lonely as a single person, there is no loneliness like being married to someone who you sleep beside, but you're a million miles apart. I'm trying to give wisdom so that you save yourself pain. If you will learn to wait on God, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow. If you'll wait on him, he's like Hallmark. He cares enough to send his very best. And listen to me, I know this is not in your notes, but this is the truth. The greatest enemy to the best is not the worst. The greatest enemy to the best is good. Do not settle for something that is good. Put in your spirit that I will not settle for anything but God's best. And you'll never get God's best in your timing. You'll never learn how to truly be full and complete until you've learned how to be empty and lonely. It's tight, but it's right. I'm telling you, there is a place in God that you will only know when it's just you and him. There's a place in your walk with Christ where only the darkness and the loneliness gives place for an intimacy with God that no one else can know. And if you're always running to get filled, running to get the next thing, running for this, running for that, you will not experience the still, quiet whispers of lonely times with God. And I promise you this, if you will walk lonely, if you'll let God take you through some loneliness, you'll find him to be closer than a brother. You'll find that he is your source of intimacy. People do not complete us. Relationships do not complete us. Marriage does not complete you. It exposes you. It exposes what's in your heart. For that very reason, that's why God says, I've got a mate for you. But before I can give her to you or him to you, I've got to make you ready for her. I've got to make you ready for him. Because if I gave you outside of the time, you would mess it up. Hello? God says, I'm going to put you in a time where you have to wait for things. Five reasons God makes us wait. We need our worship team up. I'm going to go fast. Number one, waiting reveals motives. Waiting reveals motives. See, the Bible is very clear that the heart is desperately deceitful, it says. Who can know it? The truth is, we don't know ourselves. Do you agree with that? We need God to expose ourselves to ourselves. And what happens is, when he puts us in a season of loneliness, he begins to reveal us to us. If you're taking notes, write these four things down. Every heart has wickedness. Every heart. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you were born in the church. Every heart has something in it that wants to rebel against God's will. So we have to allow God to deal with our wickedness. Number two, every heart has weaknesses. We don't like that word, but it's true. Every one of us have weaknesses in here. Every heart has weaknesses. Number three, every heart has woundedness. Some more than others. If you've been sexually abused or verbally abused, your heart is very wounded. You might have even been wounded by dating and breaking up by someone you were very close to. I want to talk about that next week, about soul ties and about soul care and about your soul and why dating is dangerous. Hello? Can I step on your toes next week? Hey, listen, if you want me to just pat you on the back, tell you you're wonderful, ain't gonna happen. Find another church. I'm just gonna warn you now, I will step on your toes. But truthfully, I'm not stepping on your toes. Holy Spirit is stepping on your toes. And I don't want to be a part of a church that doesn't step on my toes. I need changed. You need changed. So next week, I'm going to talk about that. Every heart has wickedness. Every heart has weakness. Every heart has wounding, woundedness. And every heart experiences warfare, spiritual warfare. I look back on my single days and I did not know what God was doing. I didn't realize that some of the things I was facing was truly warfare. Warfare. Here's why. If you're single in here, God doesn't want to give you a mate so you're happy. I would love to just take a big old sledgehammer to that thought that God just wants to make you happy. God doesn't want to make you happy. God will make you hurt. God wants to make you holy. And when you're holy, holiness is wholeness. When you're holy, when you're whole, happiness is a natural result of holiness. But we chase happiness for the sake of holiness, and what happens is we're never happy. But if you'll chase holiness, if you allow God to make you holy, you'll just naturally be healthy and happy. Oh, it's tight, but it's right. You need to reject what the world tells you. Just follow your heart. Oh, your heart is messed up. Don't follow your heart. Follow God's word. You follow your heart, you're going to follow a world of pain. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life, and now I'm going to get to preaching. Oh, my. Waiting reveals our motives. Number two, waiting builds patience. Patience is a character trait. Something we have to learn. I'm not just talking about waiting in line. I'm talking about patient endurance. This scenario, what if it took 20 years? Can you patiently endure? Because the more you patiently endure, James 1 verse 2 says this, that we are to count it all joy when we face trials of many kinds. For he says, the testing of your faith worketh patience, and patience must have its work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Are you following me? Patience works in your life. Patience is one of those virtues that in your life, as you just endure, as you endure. What do you mean by endure? You just keep going. You keep trusting. You keep waiting. And even when I say waiting, I want us to make sure we're not seeing waiting as twiddling our thumbs. Actually, singleness is a gift. If you're single in here, you can do things us married people can't do. Go on every mission trip you can go on. Serve in every team you can be a part of. Use your singleness for the glory and the kingdom of God. And you run as hard as you can after God, and you endure the patience, but you run as hard as you can after God. You chase God and let him chase you with things. He'll chase you with your mate. I went to a little tinky, rinky-dink church. And many times, as I was a college student, struggling, wanting to be married, back in the day, I had a few prospects. I'm not all that in a bag of chips, but there was girls. But to know that they weren't mine. Oh, I'm going to get to meddling again. Don't be kissing on people that are not yours. Well, we're dating. I don't care if you're dating or not. Well, it's just kissing. Okay, then let me kiss your wife. Kissing is sacred. It's sacred. It starts the engines. You have liftoff. That's bad now. You You gotta be careful and guard yourself. You can't just be dating around. Don't be dating around. You're dating the one. You guard yourself because that person you're just hanging out with isn't yours. It's someone else's. You guard them. And yes, it's patience. And yes, it's hard, buttercup, but you got to do it. You got to do it. And I'm not just talking about single people. There's married people in here that God has something else in store for you, but you're trying to get it in your own way, in your own timing. And God's saying, wait on me. Wait. I know you're feeling empty, but let me fill that empty spot. Learn how to endure. Learn how to have patience, because patience is working in you something you could not work on your own. Number three, waiting builds anticipation. Reason why Christmas is so much fun for kids is because it's not every day of the year. You want to have a great marriage? Honor it while you're single. The more you allow God to put you in loneliness, the greater you'll anticipate and appreciate being married. Oh, man, you guys looking at me like, I don't know. I'm telling you, when you have to wait for something, you appreciate it. You appreciate, the more you wait, the more you appreciate. Some people, and I say this in weeping, sex doesn't mean much to them. You know why? Because they have it with everybody. It doesn't mean anything to them, but I tell you what, when you've waited, I still enjoy kissing. Because I didn't kiss until I was 18 years old, and she kissed me. And then I broke up with her. Not because she kissed me, but because I knew she wasn't mine. But I only dated three people in my life. My wife, a girl that was not the one who was a trap. Listen to me. Right before your breakthrough comes, there's always a trap. Be watching for the trap. Watch the trap. Watch the trap. And the trap isn't a tramp. She's just not yours. Watch. She was a trap. God rescued me. I'm not standing here saying, oh, I had everything all together. No, God rescued me. But the reason he rescued me is because I allowed him to. And because there were many nights that I was praying beside my bed, knee marks beside my bed. God, protect me from me. Keep me. Keep me, Lord. Because when I'm weak, I need you to surround me. I only dated three girls. The other girl was long distance. She wasn't mine either. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade what we have, my wife and I have, for anything in the world. You know why? Not because it's just romantic. We do have a romantic life. And I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about we live an adventure, don't we, baby? We live an adventure with the King. We live an adventure. Every high, every low, every up and down, we're together. And we oftentimes, even in the down times, will look and say, I wouldn't want to do this adventure with anybody else. Oh, I'm telling you, we get to that last sermon on mating, being with your mate. I'm telling you, God wants to put you together with someone that will take you to a whole new level. Hello? Number four, waiting transforms your character. This time of waiting is a time for you to work on you. It's a time for you to work on you. It's a time to work on you. Learn life skills. Learn how to communicate.
Well, this is the way I was when I got married. Well, that's your fault.
Learn to communicate. Oh, ladies, listen to this. Do not marry someone who cannot handle money. If they can't handle money, you break up with them and you say, you got 6 months to get it right, Bubba. I'm telling you, it's practical, but it's true. If you're single, learn to handle money. Learn what ticks you off and learn how to be nice about it. I learned when I was lonely and waiting that I was moody. And I wore my emotions on my sleeve. And if something happened at work, I came home with that. You know what I did? I know this sounds silly, well, we had a dog. It was a collie, dumbest dog I ever saw in my life. Those collies, I don't know why. She was a dumb dog. Anyway, nice dog, just dumb. I don't understand. Anyway, her name was Princess. But you know what God did? God began to put it in my heart that every time I got home, no matter what mood I was in, to practice saying hi to Princess as if I'm saying hi to my wife. So that's so easy for me to come home and say, hi, Princess. And you're not nearly as dumb as that dog at all, not nearly, not even close. My point is this, practice. Paul told Timothy, exercise yourself unto godliness. What exercise is? Practice. Practice being godly. Practice being nice. Practice learning to handle money. Practice this time where you're waiting. It's a time for you to work on you. Work on you. Be what you desire in a mate. You want a praying wife? Learn to pray. You want your man to go to church? Go to church. Hello? Everything you desire, be what you desire. Finally, waiting builds intimacy and dependence upon God like nothing else could. Waiting builds intimacy and dependence upon God like nothing else could. God does not want you to live loveless and passionless as a single person. He wants you to use it for Him. He wants you to turn it to Him. Hello? I don't think God is really wanting to take away our sexual lust and desire. I think He wants us to just filter it and put it in the right direction. Hello? And just make it all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Maybe next week I'll share a little bit about our story, but the best analogy or the best, I don't even know how to explain it. The best example I know of impartation was the day we got married, my wife and I. My life went to a whole new level. My ministry went to a whole new level. I began to see things I never saw before. And I believe it wasn't because I was incomplete. It was because two pieces of the puzzle came together, and now I was able to see clearly. Hello? I was a complete piece. She was a complete piece. But that's what God wants to do, is He wants to bring someone into your life that it's not just about you being happy. It's about you doing what He wants you to do. See, Adam didn't get Eve until Adam knew who he was. He was made in the image of God. Adam didn't get Eve until he was working hard. He was working within the garden. Hello? Adam didn't get Eve until he was producing. You got to stop being a consumer and start learning to be a producer. Hello? Produce. Be a person of character. God doesn't want you to live loveless. If you'll stand to your feet. My prayer through this series is, like I said, that in some way, somehow, you would get some principles, whether you're single or married, you'd get some principles of God, that God wants you to grow in whatever area it is. Next week, I'm going to talk about the soulish realm and breaking soul ties, what it means to have a soul tie, what it does when you get connected to someone and then you have to break up. I believe this, that dating doesn't help you practice for marriage. It helps you practice for divorce. Hello? I'm not saying you can't date. I'm just saying you better make sure it's the right person at the right time. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word today. Lord, I thank You. Even as I was speaking about the wickedness, weakness, and woundedness, Lord, I'm just so aware that every heart in here has some level of woundedness. And Lord, You don't just forgive us of our sin. You heal us of our sin. You don't just forgive us of our weaknesses and our woundedness. You are the great physician that comes and transforms us. Father, I pray that You would help us wait on You. The last two verses I want to put up here are scriptures that God used in my life while I was waiting. It says in Psalm 27:14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. if you have an empty spot in your life, whether it's you're waiting for the right one or if you got some other dream, some other thing that's causing you to feel empty, God is not withholding that. He withholds no good thing. What I'm saying is if it was good, you would have it now. But he's saying it's not good for you yet. Are you following me? It's not good for you yet. That scripture came at Slippery Rock University in 1998. When I was walking around the campus, feeling burning on the inside, looking at the spirit of the world calling me, and waiting on God all this time, and here I'm waiting with all these Daisy Dukes walking around. I lived in the world, but I didn't go unarmed. In my backpack, I had my Bible. I went down to the cafeteria feeling so weak. Anybody ever felt weak? Feel like I just can't do this anymore. I'm a tilting wall. I'm going to fall. I'm going to crumble. But I opened up the Word and I read that last passage. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And it fed my soul. God wants you. You can be in love with God. You can be in love with God. You can be in love with God. You can be in love with this. You can be in love with this Word. You can be in love with God. I want to be in love with Him. He doesn't want you to be romanticless, without romance. As a single, He wants you to live your romance with Him. And in the right time, He'll bring you a love story you could never imagine. I'm telling you, Hallmark has nothing on our story. It doesn't. Let's pray. Father, bless your people. Bless them with waiting. Bless them with the things that you have for them. Give them hearts that their roots go down deep, even if they're walking empty and lonely. Jesus' name. I'm going to let the worship team go or play. I'm going to bless you. And if you have a need for prayer for anything, I want you to just come to the altar. I want to pray with you and a few of us to help us pray. Can I bless you if you'll just keep your eyes open? Oh, I bless you. May you hear the voice of your Father today, that even darkness cannot hide you. Even darkness is as light to Him. That you're precious to Him. That He has good things in store for you. May God grace you with the ability to wait on Him. Because those who wait, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. I bless you that even while you're waiting, you won't grow weary. You won't get discouraged in the waiting. You'll walk and not faint. Why? Because your hope and your eyes are on the invisible Father, that your eye is on Him. Go in God's grace and His strength. Tell somebody about Jesus and wait on Him this week. Love you. God bless.